Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Burton Williams. Burton, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Now, I'm really excited to hear your one-sentence bio. Some people give a very long sentence that my grade school grammar teacher would have cringed at. And some people just say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you my very long.
I'm not going to do
bio.
That.
Okay. So let's see which one you are. So your one-sentence bio.
So I'm a child of God, married to Nicole. We have three children. She homeschools all of our children. She's awesome. I was a professional beggar for about 21 years as a fundraiser. I am CEO of the Ayers Foundation right now, but it's all about relationships for me, and you'll hear that probably today.
Well, so, I'm looking forward to hearing the relationship.
And I'm an adjunct professor sometimes at the College of Business here.
Hey, and we appreciate you being an adjunct professor in the College of Business. You ready to start with question number one?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
Yeah, so that's really a daily reflection of my values. And so I heard John Brown, who was CEO of Stryker Corporation, say one time that it's just real simple. I tell my employees, don't lie, don't cheat, and don't steal, which are morals, but they're also values in a way. And so that's honesty. That equates to honesty. So being honest is important. Being trustworthy is important. And I tell everybody, and I live by this as well, without relationships, there's no trust. Without trust, there's no investment. And so that's really, I think I've heard the first two, and I've added that investment part. I don't know who said that. Maybe I did, but I live by that as well. And we'll talk more about folks maybe that influence me, but and authentic, you know, being real. And it's not fair to an employee or a team member not to give them feedback that could help them succeed, not to be afraid to do that. It's okay if they choose another route. I'm proud of that. Those moments that happen as well. But you have to be real with people, and you have to be supportive, and you have to do it in a manner that is respectful.
So most people, I think, value the authentic relationship. Mm-hmm. So you talked about being authentic. You talked about relationships being important and the investment you make into them. How do you do that? So you're the CEO of Ayers Foundation Trust.
Yes.
You've been there for how long?
I've been there 9 months.
So as new, I would say you're fairly new there. How do you build those relationships and do that in an authentic way?
Yeah, so it's one conversation at a time. So it could be an email conversation. It could be a phone conversation. It could be a text. Face-to-face is my preference, but we have 83 employees all across the state of Tennessee. I'm planning to go into all 33 high schools that we work in this fall because and I told them there's no agenda. I'm there to encourage. And get to know them better. And so it can't be done top down. It's more bottom up. I'm at the bottom. I'm lifting everybody up. And so that's how I try to do that. It's just a one-on-one interaction with people.
Now that takes time though. So how do you carve out that time to make sure that people feel that relationship is authentic?
Yeah. So there are moments where you have folks together. So you do some of that there. But quite honestly, it's picking up the phone. Congratulations on, you know, your newborn. You know, I heard you moved into a new house. It's the things that are not necessarily business related.
Right.
It's the personal. It's the family. We're a big family at the Ayers Institute. And then it's also calling them when they don't expect it. And it's interesting to hear. They're waiting to hear. Why are you calling me? Well, I just want to check in. How you doing? What's on the ground because I'm not there? So you have to do that. Now, having a great executive assistant is helpful where she can carve out some of those times. And so every month we go on my calendar and we'll mark out, you know, 6 or 7 days that are travel days where I can go to those schools or I can get on the phone. And then I'm a big note writer, handwritten, thank you notes. Whenever we hire someone, I write them a note welcoming them. We hired 25 in August, so that took a little bit of time. And they're all different. They're not the same because some of them work close together. They could compare my notes. So I want to make sure they're very customized to them.
But that is, that's got to start that relationship with that new employee well. When they get a note from you and it's personalized and you've sent it to them, that has to make them feel important.
Hope so.
Yeah, you would hope, right?
It certainly made me feel important on my journey.
Right.
For other people to do that to me.
Right. I was thinking about when I was hired, a couple times I've started new jobs, and one time specifically, I got a box from FedEx to my house, and it was a letter from the highest person in my organization. It was a letter that was typed, but I could tell he had signed it. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool, with a book, and I love books.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is really cool. Like this, and it was some other swag, and I thought, this was really great. It just started that hiring process well.
Yeah, that's great. I also will write notes. If I give someone a book, I'll write in the book.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was, I don't want to mess up their book. But I said, no, they need to know why I'm giving this to them.
Yeah, that's great.
And so that's something that my penmanship has waned as I've gotten older. So it takes me a little bit longer to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Ready for question number two?
Sure.
Okay. Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
So three things, if I can do that. So personally, my parents and my grandfather. My grandfather taught, he was a educator in rural Tennessee. He was a principal for 38 years. He led through integration in his school, and he probably the wisest man I've ever known. And so he was very encouraging, but he also, there were things that he told me when I was a kid when we would go fishing. They've just stuck with me because of the way he said them, like, you are what you are when no one's watching. And so that helps you be mindful of personal integrity and honesty. My parents are givers. And so at 83 and 88, they're still getting out in the community, doing things for their church. And they've just never asked for reciprocation. And they're just very, they're givers. I've not quite gotten there yet to be able to give to their level. And it's not financial. It's just, it's time, our most precious investment. And then third, H. Norman Schwarzkopf. And so I heard him speak. Of course, he led the Desert Storm offensive. And he said a couple of things, but the one that I will repeat constantly is you can always delegate your authority, but never your responsibility. So you're always in charge. You're always responsible for every single thing that happens. You get all the credit. You get all the criticism. And I have been in organizations where there was a lot of delegating of responsibility, and it never went well. So I remind my senior team of that all the time, and I expect that of them. And so that's really almost haunted me. I hear it in my head so often.
So repeat that one more time, because I think that is a very important.
You can always delegate your authority, but never your responsibility.
That is so good.
He also had a senior commander tell him, you know, take charge, because he was leaving for a mission overseas. He's like, what do I do? He said, take charge. And he said, okay, I'll take charge. I understand. I got to be. And he said, and then what? He said, do what's right. Very simple, right? So that's why it stuck with me, because it was very simple and direct and to the point.
Well, and it goes back to your personal integrity.
Absolutely.
You know, I think about personal integrity being how you do anything is how you do everything.
That's good. Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw a student the other day park in faculty and staff parking. And I said to him, and it didn't catch me at the best moment. I said, I didn't realize we had hired you here at Lipscomb. And he kind of laughed. And I said to him, I said, as an accounting student, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you'll bend the rules on this, it'll be easier to bend the rules on other things.
So did you know him?
I did.
Yeah, so that helped.
I did.
You had a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did know him. So I hope it made a difference.
Well, that's great you mentioned that today, because when I pulled up, my spot was not open, or I didn't see that it was open, so I parked in faculty staff, which I guess legitimately I could have done. I said, no, I'm going to wait and park where I'm supposed to park, and I moved the cone, and that's just, you know, coming back. And when you're working at Lipscomb, parking is quite a premium.
Yes.
As a guest, I wanted to be a guest and be respectful. So that's so funny that. Yeah. You brought that up today.
that might be one of my hot buttons is parking.
Well, it is if you work at Lipscomb.
Yes,
sure.
It is, which is a good problem to have, because universities that have lots of parking usually have lots of problems.
That's
so
right.
you want a university that has a parking problem. All right, should we get to question number three?
Yes.
Okay. What book has made the biggest impact on you?
Well, over my whole lifetime, the Bible, because you can go to the Bible for any answer on any question. I've taught financial literacy for several decades, and so, you know, money and possessions is mentioned in the Bible over 2,300 times, a lot more than prayer, a lot more than faith. And so it was really a go-to book for my classes that I taught. In addition to that, Henry Cloud, I think, Necessary Endings. In my life, I've been able to choose my endings, and I've also had them given to me. And the great, read the book. I encourage you to do that. But the genesis of the whole thing is that you have to have a necessary ending to have a positive new beginning. And if you can think of it through that paradigm, it's actually a positive. It's not a negative. But you also have to be able, I mean, you can actually stay at the company and have your own ending and new beginning. If you're moved into another position that is not one you want, but you like your team, you like the culture, you can stay there. And I feel like you can be an example for other folks to watch that and see how you can rise up through adversity. I've always also said, or I've heard it, I don't know who said this either, I need to check my sources, lead from the seat you're in. And I've led in a lot of seats and even in a room. You know, you're going to be in different seats. So lead from the seat you're in. Don't be intimidated and not lead, even though you're not the leader or the boss.
Right. Those are all good. You know, I taught negotiations in the MBA program for about 10 years, and I taught it from a book, and I had the thought, not the Bible. I had the thought, actually just this past week, I would love to go back and revisit my material and teach it from a biblical perspective. Because I think there's a lot that we miss in business by not going to the Bible and pulling out concepts.
And it's just not something we think about because it's not a new book.
Right. It's not on the bestseller list.
It's not on the bestseller yet, although it's so more.
Well, it is. I mean, yeah, not the new.
That's right. Isaiah 40:31 is my favorite scripture, especially for young people, because it talks about, you know, you'll run and don't grow weary. And it's just a good reminder when you kind of beat up a little bit to go to. And of course, my parents always like me to memorize Ephesians 6, which children obey your parents. For this is right, honor your father and mother. And we quote that to our children as
there
well.
You go.
So,
yeah,
but
a good one
too. It answers almost, it does not tell you when you can borrow money, however, unfortunately.
Well,
it does tell you what debt can do to you and how to manage it. But
it's true.
So I've looked. If somebody knows, call me because I haven't found it yet.
All right. Call Burton Williams.
Yeah.
All right. We're ready to get to my favorite part of the podcast.
Okay.
You're going to do great.
I'm ready for it.
Okay. It's 60 seconds of rapid fire questions.
Great.
You get one pass. Your job is to try to answer as many of these questions as possible. So don't overthink it.
Okay.
All right.
Can I say pass?
Absolutely. No. You get one pass.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What hobby have you recently picked up or would you like to pick up?
Wow. Yard work again. I've put a hold on that. Go ahead.
What language would you like to learn?
French.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Accounting.
What's a pet peeve of yours?
People telling me they'll do something and they won't do it, or they didn't do it.
What's an app you use every day?
The Weather Channel.
What's an animal you'd love to see in the wild?
A leopard.
What city were you born in?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
What's your first job?
I was a brokerage accountant for a Wall Street firm.
Who's your favorite author?
Oh, these are so hard. Pass.
Name a place on your travel bucket list.
Greece.
What's your favorite meal?
Seafood.
Who's a person you admire?
My grandfather.
That's a great one to end on.
That was tough.
Well, it can be tough, but you did a good job.
I didn't give you the author because there's just so many, and it's just hard to pick. And I didn't want to say, I can't pick. You know.
Well, I will tell you, there's so many good authors
out
there.
And the ones that you can go back to. Philip Yancey was great as well, and he wrote a book about what's so amazing about grace.
Oh,
so for someone that's raised in a very kind of conservative faith heritage, to find out that there's nothing you can do, it's all already been done for you, and it's just life-giving. So
that's
he's probably my favorite Christian author.
That's good. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah.
I don't know him. Henry Cloud that you mentioned earlier is probably one of my favorites.
He's great.
I love his boundaries.
Peter Drucker's good too.
Oh, yeah. There's
never goes out of style.
We could sit here and talk about authors probably for the rest of our lives.
That's a 5-minute rapid fire.
It really is. Yes. Okay. So your job now is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give a manager?
Be present.
And how do you do that?
You practice authentic leadership. Mm. You don't ask anybody to do something you would not be willing to do yourself. You can't do it yourself. That's why you're asking them. But it's got to be something you're willing to do yourself, or don't ask them.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
If you can do it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Barton, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This was fun.
It was fun.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.